These sayings of mine, not mine, but I'm quoting Jesus. Jesus said that these sayings of mine can be a foundation for your life. These sayings of mine. We read in the book of Matthew, chapter 7 and verse 24, these words, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." These sayings of mine. Turn with me to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. This is Luke's account of the same circumstance. The Bible tells us that Jesus used the same expression when he spoke of the same illustration. Chapter 47 of chapter 6 and verse 47. "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." Now, look at verse 46. Jesus asked the question, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" The people to whom Jesus spoke were adherents of a very popular religion. It's called tongue religion, word religion. And the reason I say that is because we can say Jesus. In fact, in the book of Matthew, preceding the ones that I read from, Jesus said that there would be people involved in his work who would claim to have done many wonderful things, and in thy name prophesied, and in thy name cast out devils. And yet Jesus would say to them, "Depart from me, you work an iniquity. You are not working a good work." And I'll say to them, "Depart from me. I never, never, never knew you." Evidently, they knew all the right words, but they didn't know the right person. And there are some who may know the right person, but they have never put into practice the principles and teachings of Jesus Christ. They call him Lord, Lord, but they do not do the things that he teaches. These sayings of mine, they are strong and powerful sayings because they can become the foundation that will bear us up all through life, give us a, quote, foundation that will never, ever fail. Let's read the rest of these parabolic statements, metaphorical. I'll read again from verse 24 of chapter 7, the book of Matthew. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof, or the fall of it. Now, as we think about the statement, these sayings of mine, these are not philosophical sayings. They're not sayings that came from Per Richard's almanac. They're not what you hear today as you hear people assess the circumstances in which we live or define the cultural nuances of the age that is now and the age that will come. There's a lot of words that are floating around in the air, many of them polluting the very oxygen that we breathe. Words, words, words. What I believe we should focus on this morning is the sayings of Jesus. They are the words that have a foundation that will furnish for us a foundation for our lives. And one of the tragedies that I see is that we're advertising and we are exclaiming and proclaiming many things other than the sayings of Jesus. We're not emphasizing the sayings of Jesus. We're emphasizing activity, we're emphasizing fun, we're emphasizing friendship, we're emphasizing a lot of things that we can furnish to the world and give to the world, and we advertise that we have them for the world. But the one thing that ought to be a central factor in every congregation of people who call Him Lord is to learn the sayings of Jesus, to do the sayings of Jesus, and build a foundation for that congregation, to build a foundation for that individual, to build a foundation that is upon the rock of Jesus Christ Himself. And the reason I say that is because of what we see in this illustration, and that is, and the rain descended and the floods came. The rains will descend and the floods will come. And when they do, we need a foundation that is built upon the rock. That is, the rock itself forms the foundation. And speaking to a congregation or writing to a congregation, Paul said, and no other foundation can man lay than is, present tense, is laid Christ Jesus the Lord. That's the foundation. It's not literal rocks, of course, but principles and facts and truths that reveal to us the nature of God, the will of God, and the way of God. Whosoever, if any man, so Jesus said, if any man, and now Jesus is talking about, if you want to know the absolute context of this, is talking about all of chapter 5, all of chapter 6, and all of chapter 7. All of these reveal principles about many topics and subjects. He's spoken the Beatitudes. He's spoken of the law of Moses. He's spoken about charitable giving of alms and of giving a public prayer, private prayer, fasting. He's spoken about riches and anxiety. He's spoken about critically judging one another. He's spoken about willingness to hear our brethren, our children. He has warned us in many things and enlightened us about many things. And he said, these are the foundational truths and principles of me and who I am and what I want you to believe and what I want you to do. In the book of Luke, the first statement was, come, if any man come to me. Now, we invite people to a lot of things, but our primary invitation ought to be to Jesus Christ, the man Jesus Christ, the God Jesus Christ, the Savior Jesus Christ, the Deliverer Jesus Christ, the soon coming Jesus Christ. That's the one to whom we must come. If any man come unto me, so Jesus invited all humanity. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So the first act of the will is to come to Jesus Christ. And in coming to Jesus Christ, you must forsake all other things as the hope of your deliverance and of your salvation and of your rest and of your peace. Come to Jesus. Then hear. And that involves much more than simply sound recognition. It means to so intensely set your mind and heart and spirit and intellect upon the things that Jesus has said and that have been recorded in his book, to set our minds upon those so that we can correctly interpret what has been said by Jesus, what has been written about Jesus, so that we can comprehend the person of Jesus Christ, to have knowledge of him. If any man will hear, it's more than sound. It is to open the mind, to open the heart, and to discharge things that interfere so that we can intellectually and spiritually comprehend what Jesus has said. So you must come to Jesus and you must hear what Jesus has said. Those two in themselves will not produce the foundation that we need, that we're looking for, and that's here in these scriptures discussed. Whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them. Doeth them. We must do more than hear words. We must understand what they mean. They are instructions. They are how-to words, if you please. And if we will take the words of Jesus and apply them, obey them, function within the framework of them, we will do exactly what this word that's translated do actually means. It means to make, to form, to produce. It's an external act manifested by tangible completion of things. You know, you could carry the blueprints around for your dream house, and you could look at them every night. You could pore over them in the middle of the day. You could anticipate what it would be like to live within that house when it is completed. But as long as you did not put your plans into action until you complete what you have planned, until you complete what your mind comprehends and what your heart desires, you will live in the open. You will still be living under a tree in a faulty place and not your dream house. If you want a foundation spiritually, then step outside plans and good intentions, step outside all the hindrances, step outside all the excuses, and create something by doing it.
by completing it. That's tangible and good and in line with the plan and principles that God has given to us in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. And this is what Jesus is emphasizing. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and what? Do not the things I say. We're talking about doing the things that Jesus said. Now, if we do that, our foundation will be a rock foundation. And when the rain descends and the floods come and the winds blow and they beat upon that house, it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. One of the things I like to do in the wintertime is look at catalogs. Not clothing catalogs or things of that nature, but catalogs that have to do with fruit trees and gardens and growing things. And occasionally I'll order something out of those catalogs. Sometimes it's seed, sometimes it's a plant. They don't always turn out very well, but to simply take a seed catalog, botanical catalog, and examine it, read all of the attributes of a particular species, learn how to plant it, learn how to fertilize it, whether it needs water, whether its feet gets wet, all these things, but then to fold the book up and lay it on the shelf means one thing. I'll never taste the fruit. I'll never eat the vegetable. I saw a peculiar thing in a tomato catalog, had other things in it, advertised not hot cayenne peppers. Now, I have a sort of a despicable attitude toward cayenne peppers. The reason I do, they're hot. That's what I have against them. That's pretty simple, isn't it? It's profound, but simple. But they're supposed to grow, you know, a foot long or so. So I ordered seeds. Betty planted them. She grew, set them out, and that's what they do. So I've got cayenne pepper, red, non-hot, a foot long. My dream came true. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. If any of you need any, let me know. But at least I know. I mean, I have experiential knowledge of non-hot cayenne pepper. And people use the Bible oftentimes the same way, in the sense of we look at it, we read it, we sort of taste it, we try it, we dream about if we did it, we think about it, we'd like to do it, it could be, it might be, it is, all of these things, but we fold it up, put it on the shelf. We never order what we're thinking or knowing we really need. We don't put it into practice, and so it dies in the book on the shelf, and suddenly we are old and gray-haired, and we don't have a foundation for our lives. We live them silly without God. We live them without His help, without His salvation, without His promises, and we die bitter, angry people. We need to start teaching our infants the Word of God. And that's one of the things we do here that I think is the most wonderful thing we can offer anybody, is your children, under the teaching of some of our people, are going to be taught the Word of God. Not cute little songs all the time, they sing a few, but the central fact is going to be the Word of God. And if there is a class in this church where they are not teaching the Word of God, I want to know about it. And I'm not talking about fooling around for 20 minutes, talking about the weather, what the Razorbacks didn't do. You didn't listen, did you? We showed them. But anyway, not going to class and, quote, have fun. We don't advertise it. You'll never see a sign out in front of this building that says, it's fun to come to church. It's not what church is all about. It's about learning the Word of God. It's about worshiping God Almighty in spirit and in truth. I don't think I can explain a lot of things that we do or don't do. They've come through a process. Hang around enough, and you'll see kind of who we are and what we're looking and trying to do and accomplish here. But central to who we are will be these sayings of mine. These sayings of mine. What Jesus taught and what Jesus expected people to learn of Him and His way. Now, the Bible tells us that this was a wise person that built his house upon a rock. It means a person of understanding, thoughtful, practically wise, sensible, a person who had common sense. And he built upon a rock, a projecting rock and not a pebble, a rolling stone that might be thrown by the waters as they rolled around, or with the wind as it blew upon the house. There was, and there always will be, a time of testing. I don't want to bring into this message the tragedy that's happened from the viewpoint of New Orleans. All I can say is you build your house lower than the river and lower than the lake, you shouldn't be surprised if you get flooded. I mean, so we're going to build it back just like it was, which makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? It's wise to do that. No, it isn't wise to do that. And if we think we can conquer nature, we're not wise at all. And I don't speak of any individual, and I'm trying to be mean or hard-hearted or cruel. I'm simply telling you that if you don't build your foundation on the sayings of Jesus, when the wind comes, the rains are descend, and the floods overflow what you have believed in and what you've been trusting in, whether it's luck or religion or another human being, whatever it is you've built upon that's not upon the sayings of Jesus, when spiritual testing comes, it's going to crumble. It's going under. It's going to get flooded. Be wise. Think it out. Make plans. Put it into action. Do the sayings of Jesus Christ. Because if you don't, well, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. Did you get it? And it fell. And it fell. I've made this observation, and I believe it to be true. I've made it to illustrate some points that I think our people need to understand. Any one insurance policy is as good as any other policy. I'm going to say that again. Any insurance policy, whether it's automobile or house or fire or flood, is as good as any other insurance policy. There's absolutely no difference in them until you need it. Okay? I mean, unless you have a wreck, you've got a wonderful policy. It may be cheap. It's great. It's wonderful. But have an accident and they tell you we're not paying, then it's useless. You find out by experience that certain things although they seem to be the same on the surface, are really not, because of the benefit they will or will not pay. Now, any religion, and I'm just making a comparison, is about as good as any other religion, as long as you got lots of money, good health, and everything's going well. You know, if you're just looking for religion, you say, well, I wonder which one is best. Well, they're all about the same until you need it. I've heard people talk about the religion. Had a man tell me this one time, who, when he found out he had cancer, came and united with our church, made a profession of faith, was saved, in fact, lived life about a year. But he told me, he said, the religion I was in, the church I was in, was really good to live by, but it sure wasn't any good to die by. So until you need something to die by, until you need something because you're in trouble, it's like a set of sorry ranches, knuckle busters, okay? They're wonderful just laying out there, shiny, untried, unneeded. But then you really need one of them and it breaks or cracks. You might as well not have it. It's helpless. It complicated your problems. Listen, the sayings of Buddha will complicate your problems. The sayings of Confucius will complicate your problems. And reading religious books oftentimes complicate your problems. They don't explain them and get down to the bedrock and tear out all of the superficial material and get you where you're solid and on the right foundation. They'll just confuse and add clutter to your life, and you'll be more and more confused. The only way you can walk in the light is to have the light of the teachings or sayings of Jesus Christ. All else will be dim darkness, and as time goes by, your future will get darker and darker instead of lighter and lighter. How do I get started? How do I get started? You get started by opening the book. That's how you get started. Open the book. Then you get started by what? Reading. Coming to Jesus. Hearing. And you say, well, that's wonderful. Not yet. Not yet. Coming to Jesus. Hearing. Reading, contemplating, but doeth, put it into action, live it, let it change you from what you don't want to be as a Christian to what you want to be as a Christian. Let it work upon you. Sandpaper comes in certain grits, okay? When they're polishing a reflector for the great telescopes, you know what they use? They don't use sandpaper. They use what we would call talcum powder. Just over and over and over. And it eventually will make it what they want it to be. But I need more than talcum powder on my heart. I need to use some rough, coarse grit so that I can get some changes made that'll benefit me and benefit my church and benefit my God and benefit my community and benefit my life, so that I can do what I ought to do for God. So let the Word of God condemn and challenge. Let the Word of God hurt. Let it tear your conscience up. Let it tear your heart up. Let it tear your life up until you what? Until you make a change and attempt to do and just quit listening and saying, Lord, Lord. Let's stand and sing, please.
To Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence.
Thank you. I was heavy. I'm talking in the microphone. Scoot over.
I'm talking in my kid. I'm talking in my Bible.
No, don't mess with Grimble's Bible.
There she gone.
I can answer. I just said I'm. Oh, this is done.
I heard the boys.
I'm not the stone.
I'm older than her. God, she's awful.
Oh my god, she's not even 6 yet. Cry, you did not even
6. There's not even 6 yet. Okay. I don't believe it.
Oh my God, she's not even sick yet.